Well, good morning.
I'm
John Garrett, as you probably, a lot of you would know, and I'm here to welcome you all and to do some other bits and pieces. But so it's a very warm welcome to you all, and particularly any visitors who are with us today. And I know we have two special guest visitors today, and that's in Pastor Andy Colwell and his beautiful wife Glenda. And we thank you for making the trip, and we look forward to his message today. Now, I tried to find out a bit of background about Andy, and I Googled, and not a lot came up except a couple of bulletins from Murray Bridge Church, Christ Church, and then also a little bit about Aberfoyle Park. In the Murray Bridge one, there was an ad for a rental home. That's about all I could find out about him and there.
We've never been to that place.
and there was a rental ad in there, so hopefully you got a good price for it, which it would be. And then, of course, you're in Aberfoyle Park. I see your name is mentioned as a pastor there, so we know you're a pastor. And he keeps reminding us all who's met today that the red toenails are only a result of his grandson fixing up a thing. So Andy's renowned for not wearing shoes, but reminds me of Jesus. He didn't wear shoes either, so it was a great thing. Now, a few announcements. We usually have a celebration for this week, and Mark says there hasn't been much going on, so we have had a quiet time after a very busy Easter.
That's a celebration.
That's a celebration, yeah. I mean, they're celebrating a quiet time. And the other thing is that we're live streaming a special funeral service from Mount Gambier for the tragedy of the I think it was Trevor and Schultz, Kathy Schultz, yeah, who were members here for a few years. I arrived just before they left, so I didn't get to know them all that well. So on Tuesday the 23rd at 10:55, we are hosting a live stream here in our church, and you're all very welcome to come along. The problem is that you can't go through the front door because we've got the red lifeblood, I think that's the old red cross on there, having their blood collection here, and you'll be entering in through the door over this side here. And all those who use our facilities, the lifeblood will be here from Tuesday morning until Friday afternoon. And that's including on Anzac Day. So be aware of that. The other announcement that I'm asked to do here is that anybody who's not receiving their weekly community news, you can scan the QR code on the screen to subscribe. And if you know how to do that, come and tell me. And now we now commence our service in the name of our Father, Son and Holy Spirit. On the screen, I think there's a response there based on Psalm 23, which we have all known. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want. The
Lord makes me lie down in green pastures.
I shall not want.
The Lord leads me beside still waters.
I shall not want.
The Lord restores my soul.
I shall not want.
God, who is the shepherd of the sheep of the world, we gather today in the sure and certain knowledge that you are present with us as a guide, comforter, provider and friend. You are never not present with everything you have made. This is a great truth. Today, in this moment, we acknowledge your presence and we thank you for all the goodness that your world contains. May our gathering here be a response to your goodness. We pray in the name of Jesus. song, and that is on the board, Give Thanks.
His sister is married to Andrew Schultz, Trevor's brother. And we've just spent time this week in Mount Gambier with that family, partially due to the accident that occurred. Isn't that interesting that I'm here now as a part of this community, that God would do that, that he draws us together and, well, C.S. Lewis says, the pain of life is like God's trumpet. You know, he speaks to us, and how do we hear him? Well, in one way, we've been drawn together like this. I'd also like to say something about where I come from. I was introduced as a pastor of the church. I've now been retired for 2 years. I've only had 3 parishes, 10 years in Esperance, Western Australia, 17 in the Barossa at St. Petri, and 14 at Our Saviour. Now we worship there. But when we were at St. Petri, the very first young man to become a pastor, when I was pastor of a church, was a man called Nigel Rosens. And on the back of that St. Petri church was that piece of art. And as a 16-year-old, Nigel did that. And the church honoured him by having it as the only piece of art that one of the members had done inside that church. And so there's another connection in a way. I'd also like to say something about the theme at this point. Today the church today is called Good Shepherd Sunday. And I have to admit that I'm a little bit wary about being your pastor here on this day because, in a sense, I'm a hired hand. You know, at the end of the day, I get paid for my services. I am a hired hand. So listen to this. In today's Bible reading about the Good Shepherd, you will hear that the Good Shepherd is good for his sheep, but the hired hand is not. Why? Because he's not invested in his sheep. The Good Shepherd owns the sheep. The hired hand, well, if trouble comes, he's off. We'll just see if any trouble comes, what happens there. You know, if you own a business, you do not want to hear your employee say, I don't know, mate, I just work here. You know, those words are a nightmare for a business owner. I just work here. A business owner understands that a customer's current experience is an experience that will bring them back again. So he does his very best to ensure that they feel welcome, that they belong and they should come back again. Not like a hired hand would just come or go. Well, you don't have to worry about me really. Because even though you will pay me. Even though I am a hired hand, I'm really not. I am owned by the Good Shepherd. And he is good to me. Together, we will drink from his well of goodness and grace this morning. Let's now hear from God's holy word. Oh, I am new at this business of leading here. Let's now put our hearts in a place of humble confession. You would listen to the words. God, our Heavenly Father, we gather knowing that you are the great shepherd of your sheep, but so often we listen to and follow the voice of others, as if you don't know what's best for us. We confess that we read about your goodness and care, yet we frequently do not let that goodness touch us. We imagine that there are better ways, and we chase after these other ways. This is sin. Please forgive us. Forgive us for our lack of trust in you. We ask in the name of our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I bring you words of assurance. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us and forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, I therefore declare to you, your sin is forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the words from Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing in him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Now we hear God's holy word.
And the psalm, of course, is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and mercy, love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And 1 John, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words of speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. This is the word of the Lord. And from John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. I need to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
pray for the offering. God of care, we thank you for the opportunity we have to give and to share. May all that we are able to contribute here now and to other parts of our lives be a blessing in the world. We pray in gratefulness and joy. Amen. Now I have the pleasure of praying for our visiting Pastor Andy. Come forward, please. Father, we thank you for Andrew and his willingness to conduct our worship service here today. We pray that you will guide and inspire him so that we who hear and believe can receive the blessings and peace of his message today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The old pastors would say, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. It's not old at all, is it? It's very important and true that we be ready to receive. You know, you shouldn't be extremely keen to open the Bible because it might gobble you up. You know, open it with a little bit of fear and trembling and receive its goodness. There's plenty of goodness there. No, you should be really happy to open. But be aware that it has things to say that you might not want to get rid of. Well, that's the goodness of his word too. Have you ever been made to feel dumb? You know, maybe you've even been called dumb. Well, I imagine that if you were ever called dumb, you've never forgotten it. You know, if a little child is called dumb, it does something to their spirit. And I've noticed that this lasts almost forever, or it can. It hurts. It's certainly not a compliment to be called dumb. But listen to this. Jesus didn't mind going there. Talking about his death, Isaiah says, as a sheep before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now, Isaiah wasn't obviously talking about Jesus being dumb, but that he would not speak in front of his accusers. This is what happened. But you can tell that Pilate thought it was a bit dumb for him not to speak up against his accusers, because he was facing death. You know, in Matthew 27 we read, Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But Jesus gave him no answer, so that the governor wondered greatly. You know, Pilate was dumbfounded because it was just dumb that Jesus did not defend himself. That doesn't make sense. In normal understanding, you should stand up and say what you think is the truth, so that we know, so we can judge correctly. Pilate did actually judge correctly about his understanding. His wife came and said, this is a righteous man, etc. He got it. He said, you know, what do you want me to do? This man is not sin. But he was under threat of his life. Jesus, why don't you? Only a dumb person would do that. But here's something for us to ponder today. To do something dumb in the eyes of the world, but not in the eyes of God, is not dumb. To be called a sheep, you sheep, is not flattering. But that's what Jesus calls us. He calls us his sheep. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are stupid. Sheep are... How many farmers here that had sheep? Yeah, a few of you know what I'm talking about. When I was a teenager, I'm from Queensland, we had no sheep. But when I came down here to study, I went out to a couple of farms, and the farmer had these sheep rounded up and he wanted to shear just a few, you know, he had something. He grabbed a sheep He dragged it over to a post and sat it on its backside against the post. And you know, that sheep with all its fluffy wool had four legs poking out here. Look, he couldn't do a thing about it, you know. We walked around and that sheep was sitting there on its backside, just stuck there like that. That really amazed, that amused me about how it's like how stupid sheep are. But you know, when Jesus calls us his sheep, it's not a put down. Yes, it is a comment about the reality of our spiritual position before God. We are helpless, spiritually helpless before God. That's true. But more than anything, Jesus is telling us just how beautifully and lovingly he treats such people, helpless people, who are willing to follow him. My observation of human nature, though, tells me that this is hard to believe. You know, all my life, I've had people telling me that God loves me. I know God loves me. But do I really live it? Do I really believe it? You know, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they knew God loved them. They were close to God, walking and talking and, you know. Somebody once said, what's God's name? Andy. God's name is Andy. Well, Andy walked with them, Andy talked with them, Andy. Now where am I? They were his good sheep. He was a good shepherd and they were good sheep. But the evil one snuck into their life. How was the evil one represented in our Bible story? He's the hireling. You know, he pretends to do good. Hey, I've got a good idea. Come and do this. It would be great for you. You know, we generally call it quality of life. Oh, this would be better for me. Oh, yes, I get the idea. Doesn't line up entirely with what I learned in the Bible, but I'll do it anyway, you know. But he's only in it for himself. When trouble comes, he's off. You know, the decisions you've made about life for your own quality and regarding your children or your parents or your money or everything that you do, you know, when suddenly trouble comes along, he's not there to help you, financial-wise or morally. What do Adam and Eve do when they're found out? They go and hide. And they are afraid of God. What? Has God changed? You know, is God now a severe judge? Does God still love them? No. It's not that God has changed. They changed. Radical trust in God is not an obvious thing. We are not born with a radical trust in God. After Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't suddenly have a deep trust in God anymore. You know, they suspected what? That he might condemn them. You know, God would have, they think that I'm going to condemn them now. Well, there was a condemning that had to happen and it was dealt with by Jesus on the cross. But this personal business of Adam and Eve and God, what was going to happen, what was his heart towards them, was misunderstood now. Because you and I have flesh and blood, that's who we are, we have a powerful connection to Adam and Eve. You know, the moment our flesh is threatened, you know, perhaps through the guilt of something we've done wrong, or maybe we're walking down the street and we suddenly get a pain in our chest, what if I die? What happens next? I wonder how God might treat me. That's exactly the question Adam and Eve had. You know, that's why they hid. The question, I wonder how God might treat us. Jesus tells us today, I know how you feel. I know you. You know, I know your name. I know your bleat. What are you bleating for over there? You know, he says to us as well, where are you? And we just went, oh, I'm over here trying to make a name for myself. I hope people noticed. Have you? But what I'm doing right now might not look right. Actually, it probably isn't right. But, you know, look, in the end, you'll see. It'll be okay. I do need to have to provide money for my family. But the government get enough taxes anyway. Jesus says, my little sheep, bleating away, you are so helpless in many ways. But I know you. I know your needs. Every last one of them. And as if we need any evidence for his love before God and before the whole world, he then goes and dies for us. He doesn't give a great explanation. He just does what his Father wishes for him and us. And so it's all done. And he is worthy. What would we say? Trustworthy. There's that thing that we just don't do easily unless we have a change of heart. Unless the Spirit changes our heart. Unless the Spirit renews us. That's who you really are, God. As Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd is good for the sheep. Yeah, normally I wouldn't want to be owned. I want to do my own thing. I want the freedoms to just live the way I want to do. But suddenly, I'm confronted with a good shepherd. Maybe I don't mind being owned by him. He takes me, he takes the sinner me. He takes the sinner me, the trying to make a name for myself me, the me who does unrighteous things and then tries to cover it up a little bit, you know, justify myself. He takes that me, not any other me, just that me, and loves me. The real me. You know, Romans 5 says he came, while we were yet his enemies, he died for us. As sinners, he died for us. He takes that me. He doesn't run away from me. You know, when trouble comes, the hireling is off. But this one doesn't. Our God doesn't do that. He recognizes the problem that I don't want to face up to or show him, particularly him, or anyone else in the world, really. That's what he nails and says, I'm close to you. I'm right there with you. Not like all the other hollow voices that promise so much, but just can't deliver when the floor falls out. Then suddenly I see the real God for who he is. You know, God who is not accusing me. Remember what Jesus said? You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. What's the next verse? For God sent the Son into the world, the next words, not to condemn the world. Oh, that's rubbish. I know you're going to condemn the world. Oh, condemn? He condemned his Son. It's all done. He didn't forget about being just. He just did this amazing thing and didn't make us pay. Justice has been served. It's done. Not forgotten. But goodness, the great exchange, goodness given to us. It continues that the world might be saved through him. So God is a God who likes me. Some years ago, our prayer leader, who's your prayer leader this morning? John led me around. Okay, our prayer leader in our church took the staff of the church that I belong to at Our Saviour, and we had a morning of time with God. And he said, before we get started, I want you to pray to God and ask him about what name you should use when you're talking to him. I mean, the Bible has 100 names for God. Father, you know, lots of names I could go through. Well, I started praying. In no time, the phrase, God who likes me, came to my mind. And I thought, is this of you, God? Is this a biblical name? God who likes me? Well, I could certainly go through that now, but at the time, God who likes me. And you know, for about 2 years, even now I still do it. Whenever I would pray to God, I would say, God who likes me, blah, 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 whatever I had to say, God who likes me. Now I tend to pray that Our Father, I do every night, and wonder about what that all means. Meant to be my Father. But God who likes me, it was a very good thing for me to start all my prayers with God who likes me. God who likes me, etc. We had a girl in our congregation who died in a car accident 1 year, just after Easter, and I revealed what I just said to you now. And she had just had a fight with her parents before she left home for church. And they were to follow in another car, and she got to church, and guess what? Her parents weren't there. They didn't come to church for some reason. There's a good reason. There was actually a good reason. It wasn't just that they had a fight. But she's sitting in church, and I spoke like this, so she texted to her parents, God who likes me has forgiven me, or whatever she put the text. You know, when she died a few days later in the car accident, they found that text on the phone. Well, she'd sent it, rather. And so that was the last thing she'd sent to them. For those parents to know their daughter, despite the issue, had texted, God who likes me is my God. Granted some confidence, but based on the death resurrection story that we were talking about, of course, in the Easter story. I don't mind hearing that God doesn't condemn me, believe it or not. That God really does love me despite the flesh and blood. You know, it took some honest, forgiving moments to hear that truth. Repentant listening. So I now want to do a bit more. Okay, God, you know, hearing about you is so good, so refreshing, so renewing, so eternal life-giving. I don't mind hearing some more. So my listening, you know, my sheep hear my voice, he says. So we find ourselves listening to this voice of love, not wondering anymore, not, you know, this is, I mean, our flesh tugs that way, but no, there's a new life. We have a new birth. I don't mind being owned by him, by being owned by someone else, by having to do what someone else says about me and my life. Because it's going to be good for me, I know. I know it will be. Even if I'm not sure about it sometimes. But I listen to that voice every day. You do. You know, you're a Christian. Okay, God, what is it that you want for my children and my money, whatever, everything. And somehow my compassion towards sinful people grows. You know, Jesus said at the end, verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. I died for them too. I mean, there are different explanations to this text, but this is certainly included. You know, just like Jesus found his way into my sinful heart, so I too wonder and get close to those who have also wronged me. Or maybe wandering around in some dumb way. You know, your friend. Come on, don't be silly. You know, it could be your daughter, it could be your father, it could be a black sheep in your family that you haven't rung it. You're going to ring this afternoon because of this message, God's message to you today. Or it could be a neighbour who prays to a different God, like our neighbour over the road, who love us. But we know, as Hindus, they pray to a different God. We've begun a conversation. And so Jesus' flock grows. My advice then is, wake up every morning and remember the good shepherd oversees your life. Say, good shepherd. You know, do it every day. God who likes me. And he will guide you through your day. And you will follow him. We're now going to continue with our worship of our Good Shepherd in song.
as a community praying to the God who loves us. Almighty God, we are blessed that you are good, loving and faithful, who promises to lead us through all life's trials and tribulations. Hear us as we pray for the church, the world and ourselves. Father of all, we give you thanks for the risen Lord, the Good Shepherd, who seeks out and saves all who are lost. We pray for all who are walking in darkness at this time, all whose lives are hard, for all being attacked by evil, and for those who have wandered away from you, and those doubting their faith. May they hear your voice as you call them back into your embrace. May they know of your love and protection, Lord. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember all who are called to share in the shepherding of your people. We pray for all the bishops, priests and lay leaders, for all engaged in the various pastoral roles, especially those in our community across the Flurio. Give them wisdom and encouragement as they lead your people. For all those who feel they are being called to ministry, give them the courage to step out in faith as they follow along your path you have chosen for them. Help us to come together in worship and live as a community of faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask you to guide all carers and all those who are looking after others, either at home, hospital, care home, hospice, with a family, friends, or in a professional capacity. We pray for those who work with the homeless, for the work of Lutheran Care and our own Loaves and Fishes team, and all who offer hope to those in need. We ask for your blessing on all who seek out and befriend the needy. Pour out your love on all who need any kind of care. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are in the darkest of places, enduring violence in their homes, in their communities, and in their countries. Let your light shine in the darkness. We pray for those who work to feed and shelter those who need it most. We ask that your goodness will shine through the darkness and that peace will be in the hearts of those who have influence and authority. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who cannot pray for themselves, for those who have lost their memory or reason, for the neglected and abused, the lonely and all who are facing death. We pray for people who are frightened because they are ill. Reassure them that because of the knowledge that you give to mankind, many illnesses can now be cured. Help them to have confidence in those with medical knowledge. May they know the Good Shepherd is with them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, may we learn to abide in you and know you abide in us. May we know that nothing separates us from you. We pray for all who have passed through darkness and entered light and everlasting life. Comfort all who mourn the loss of someone dear to them, whether recently or has an anniversary fall at this time. We especially, at this time, we uphold the Schultz and the Schultz family. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. During the week ahead, may we hear your voice, the voice of our shepherd, and willingly follow you, showing others of your self-sacrificing love as our hearts and minds grow to be more and more like the heart and mind of Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're about to now gather around the table of our Lord. He has a gift for us, as he often gives. As a way of introduction to this meal, though, it's only come to me recently. Well, the scripture, right from day one, supports everything that Christ did when he came to live and die for us and then to grant us life. And I'd just like to highlight something to you this morning about Adam and Eve. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned and they went and hid, what did they do? They clothed themselves. They noticed they were naked and clothed themselves. What does God do just before he kicks them out? He clothes them. We sang a song in our song before. I wrote down the words, "Here in the death of Christ I live." Sounds very like the New Testament gospel. Well, prior to Adam and Eve sinning, God said to them, "You are to rule and take dominion over all." Okay? Then they fell into sin, fell out of whack with God, thought, "This is it, it's all over." What does God do when he clothes them? The interesting thing is this: the word for clothed in that instance is the same word that was used when Joseph had his cloak put on him by the Pharaoh to do the ruling of Egypt. It's the same word used for when a priest's cloak is put on a priest so that he could then be in place of God when he has something to say. So when God clothes Adam and Eve, he's now saying, "Oh, I know that you've sinned. I know this is all down the tube until Christ comes," and he predicts that right there and then as well. But you still have the job that I gave you. I reinstate you for the leadership and rulership that you actually had then, you still have now. How is it given? With the skin of an animal. Adam and Eve, for the first time in their lives, saw an innocent blood shed for them to be able to live as God intended them to live. Isn't that an interesting thing? So we're about to enter into sharing the meal of Jesus, and we are to remember his death until he comes. So we are covered for our life now by the innocent blood of Christ. This is all we can rely upon. Anything else is fluff. You know, it's me trying to make a name for myself. No, I live in the blood of Christ. I'm covered in the blood of Christ. I'm clothed. So this little picture of Adam and Eve being clothed with the death of the innocent blood, you know, the skin of Adam, is an interesting foreshadowing of the truth of our lives in Christ. Well, look, you may disagree with what I've just said about that, or you could challenge me or discuss it with me, but I just read that the other day and I thought, isn't that interesting how God prepares his people and how he's always been consistent, and how he is always gracious, how he can cope with our foibles. And so the same with us. We come to communion and we receive again the goodness that we can then go on and live in this way. Do I take the cloth off this? Yes, do that. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so we do remember Jesus in this feast. We remember that he's done everything to put to death all the death stuff in our life, and everything to raise me to life from this moment onwards. That's what we set, what we partake of as we celebrate together. Is there an instruction about how to just follow the leader?
Thank you.
Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life eternal. Go in peace. Amen. Please be seated. We pray. God of peace, thank you for bringing back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. We thank you that you equip us through his blood with every good thing we need to do your will. as we go back into the world, work in us what is pleasing to you. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing.
For his birthday, he said that he wanted to share a morning tea with his church family. He raised, both him and mum were always very much, as we were growing up as kids, my brothers Daniel and David and I were taught to always see our worshipping community as very much an important part of our church family. So he would like to share his 80th birthday celebrations with you. He hates celebrating. He has been watching people come in and wish him happy birthday. He's like, So we're not going to sing him happy birthday this morning, but he would like you to share in a morning tea. Gluten-free slices are available. They're the chocolate caramel ones, or there's ones with freeze-dried raspberries there if you are gluten-free. The rest is full of gluten, I'm afraid. But we invite you to celebrate 80 years of Dad's life on this earth, and thank you for celebrating that with him this morning.
And now welcome back, Pastor Andy, to give us a blessing.
John was much more accommodating with what he just said then. Did you hear him as he walked forward? He said, "You've got to give the blessing." That's what he said to me as he walked back. "You've got to give the blessing. There's no way out of it. You must give the blessing. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." Why? "That you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." Once you did not know God. I was talking about this morning. Now you know God. Once you did not know mercy. Now you know mercy. That's the Holy Scripture for today. He is also called Good Shepherd. God is the Good Shepherd.
We are the sheep of his pasture.
God is the Creator of all.
We are the creatures.
God is the Good Giver.
We are the receivers of goodness.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favour and give you peace. Amen. Let us go into our day full of the goodness of God. We go in hope, in love, and in joy, in the name of the one who is Good Shepherd to all the world. Amen.